This is BBC Radio 4, and now tighten your kilt for Nicholas Parsons to say...
Welcome to Just a Minute! Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only those who tune into Radio 4, but BBC 7, the internet, and of course round the world, but more importantly to welcome to the show four exciting, talented people who are going to play this game. And seated on my right, we welcome back that wonderful evergreen comedian who's contributed so much over the years to Just a Minute, that is Paul Merton. And seated beside him, we have that veteran player of the game who gives such great value every time he appears on the show, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have that delightful actor and writer who does so well every time he brings his show up here to the Fringe, that's Owen O'Neill. And seated beside him, another lovely person from the Emerald Isle, a brilliant actress, a writer, and a great stalwart of this show, it is Pauline McGlynn. Please welcome all four of them. Thank you. And seated beside me is Charlotte Davies, who's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up and help me keep the score with a stopwatch. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from a venue at the Pleasance during the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And we have a rather hyped up, excited Fringe audience dying for us to get started. So we begin the show with Clement Freud. And Clement, what a good topical subject. The best time to be in Edinburgh. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
There is no such thing as the best time to be in Edinburgh, because Edinburgh is permanently wonderful. Whether it's morning, lunchtime, afternoon, evening or night. Mondays, Tuesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, from January to December, although possibly New Year's Eve is the absolutely most brilliant time because people buy you a drink. Now, it's very rare for people in Edinburgh. You stand at a bar...
Owen, you've challenged.
Slight hesitation?
No, I think he does go a bit more slowly than some, but I he was going at a measured pace.
Okay.
So, well, nice to hear from you.
Yes.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And so we give the benefit of the doubt to Clement. You say you still keep the subject. You get a point for being interrupted, Clement. You keep the subject. There are 25 seconds available. The best time to be in Edinburgh starting now.
Bars serve whiskey, gin, brandy, rum, with all sorts of condiments and accompaniments, small bottles of...
Paul challenge.
That was a hesitation.
That was a hesitation, Paul. Yes. I agree with that. So you have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. There are 15 seconds still available, and the subject is the best time to be in Edinburgh, starting now.
Well, for me, clearly the best time to be in Edinburgh is here during the festival. What fun, you walk up and...
Pauline challenge.
Was festival mentioned before? Is that repetition?
No, yeah, but he didn't mention it before.
Oh, no! Are you serious?
Oh, we made the game impossible,
Paul. You see it written down a lot as you go round town. It might be...
It's very repetitive,
yes,
this festival thing, yes.
If
all right, do you know, Nicholas, I'm going to let that go. I take your point. I feel that the rules of Just a Minute aren't rigorous enough.
That was an incorrect challenge.
Oh,
so, Paul, you have another point, and you have the subject still, and 11 seconds available, the best time to be in Edinburgh, starting now.
I've been coming to Edinburgh to record Just a Minute for about 12 years now, and it's always, for me, the highlight of the whole event. When I sit here and look at this magnificent audience in front of me...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and on this occasion it was, of course, Paul Merton, so he's naturally in the lead at the end of the round. Pauline McGlynn, we'd like you to take the next round, and the subject is A Dream Come True. You have 60 seconds to tell us about it, starting now.
For me, a dream come true would be the face and body of Keira Knightley and the brain of Paul Merton. Or should that be the other way around? I was asked at Christmas one year by a paper what would be my dream come true, and I answered marriage. Listeners, I got it. So the flip side of a dream come true is be careful what you wish for. I have to say that after 10 years of said arrangement with my husband, I now find him watching the video of our wedding backwards so that he can watch himself go back out the church door, a single man.
In order to get that joke over, you had to repeat something. Yes,
I went for it.
Paul, you buzz first.
A repetition of
Watch, yes, right. So, Paul, you have the subject. You have 24 seconds. A dream come true, starting now.
Sorry, I was just dreaming. I was dreaming. I was doing Just a Minute. And it came true.
So we give Paul a bonus point for his amusing remark. But Owen, you challenged.
Hesitation,
I agree with that, of course. Owen, you have 25 seconds and tell us something about a dream come true starting now.
A dream come true for me is to buzz Paul Merton on Just a Minute because he is so very good at it that it takes anybody a long time to buzz him whenever they're...
Paul, what was your challenge?
Repetition of buzz.
Yeah, repetition of buzz, I'm sorry, Owen. So he's okay. Got a correct challenge. He has 13 seconds to tell us something about a dream come true starting now.
My dream come true is for Owen O'Neill to buzz me on Just a Minute when I...
Owen, your challenge. Your
challenge. I'm just here to make your dreams come true.
A generous thought from Paul gave you the chance to buzz in, gain a point and the subject, and 10 seconds. A dream comes true, Owen, starting now.
A dream come true once was meeting Mick Jagger. He came to see my show, and then I got him to do a little bit of filming, and he said that he would do it for a film that I was going to
film. Pauline challenge.
I think several hesitations, because yes. He was very excited about Mick Jagger, and I understand that. I feel quite the same way. But there was a lot of
I think
doing
Mick Jagger
it,
would,
I think,
might excite you a bit more than Owen, though.
Now, Nicholas, I have to stop you right there and say, don't assume too much.
No, I'm not going to go.
Owen's younger than Mick. Right. I say no
anyway,
more than
Pauline,
that.
I agree with the challenge. You've got in with 1 second to go on a dream come true starting now.
A dream come true would be Owen O'Neill.
So Pauline McGlynn was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She's moved forward. She's in second place behind Paul Merton, and they're followed by Owen O'Neill and Clement Freud in that order. Owen, will you take the next round? The subject, nice Scott subject here, Hootsmon. Tell us something about Hootsmon in this game, starting now.
Hootsmon is one of those incredibly stupid expressions that, in my experience, Scottish people never actually say. The Irish equivalent is, of course, the top of the morning to you. And if you ever are in Scotland or Ireland and utter any of these vacuous phrases, which incidentally were invented by the English to insidiously decimate the Celtic cultures, then you deserve to have a loud punch in the gob. Hootsmon...
Paul Charles.
A bit of a long hesitation.
No, there wasn't. He was going...
Thank you.
No.
It was measured...
Yes, he drew...
Some people call it breathing. I don't know.
I think we're hesitating in this game.
I'm afraid you've got the Irish mafia on this side.
Yeah.
The Irish
mafia.
The Murphy. Yeah, they've got the hands across the border anyway. So, no, I disagree. So you've still got the subject, Owen, and you've got 32 seconds on Hootsmon, starting now.
Hootsmon, when translated into the modern-day Anglo-Saxon, means...
Paul Charles.
Well, the subject is Hootsmon, isn't it? And Hootsman, Owen, I said man twice.
It's just my accent.
No, you did say man instead of mon.
Did I say man?
It should be Hootsmon.
Hootsmon?
Yeah.
It just suddenly so ugly here, didn't it? I'm frightened, Nicholas.
So I did give you the benefit of the doubt last time, Owen, so I give it to Paul on this occasion. Right, Paul, 29 seconds. Hootsmon, starting now.
I arrived in Edinburgh on a man day, I think you'll find it was, and Hootsmon is something you hear when you walk down the street from American tourists who expect to see the local Scots, indicating the kind of thing that you haven't really know what you're saying, but somebody may not notice because you get to the end of the sentence and nobody's looking at you. And you might get away with it.
Pauline challenge.
I would have to say that was deviation of the highest regard.
Why?
Because he just went into one of his fabulous, jazzy, nonsensical sentences.
Yeah, but he was still going on about Hootsmon and the language and so forth, wasn't he?
Mm. Well, language taken to an extreme, though, I feel.
I think I give benefits of the doubt. Pauline, as you haven't played so often, I will give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm sorry, audience, it's got nothing to do with you. So the decision, and I will try and redress the balance later on if I can. So, Pauline, the benefit of the doubt, 13 seconds. Hootsmon, starting now.
I would love to meet a Scot that would say Hootsmon to me so that I could give them a little slap around the face and say, don't bend to the stereotypes that all of the world expect from you. Respect your race. Be bigger than that. Build a bridge.
So Pauline McGlynn was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point, and with others in the round, she's moved forward. She's only two behind Paul Merton, our leader, just ahead of Owen O'Neill and Clement Freud in that order. And Paul, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is grasping at straws. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
It's a phrase that means when you look like all your luck's about to run out, you grab something hoping that you'll be saved. You can imagine perhaps somebody in a swamp trying to reach for the bank, grasping literally at straws so they can be dragged back onto dry land. When we look around each other...
Clement Challenge.
They're not straws.
What
they tend to be reeds.
But they're like straw reeds, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you clutch at them. When they're dead and they've died, those reeds go into straws.
Yeah.
If you know anything about gardening, you know that they're all straw-like entirely. And I think Paul was
excellent
justified
chairman.
In using
excellent
that.
Chairman. Best chairman we've got. Best chairman we've got.
It's the only one you've got, unfortunately.
Yes.
I will say about benefit of the doubt. Paul, I give you the benefit of the doubt, and you keep the subject, and there are 44 seconds on grasping at straws starting now.
When I worked at McDonald's, part of my job was to feed up the Pepsi-Cola cartons, and they said, well, the straws are over there, and I tried to reach them. I was grasping them all over the floor. They said, you're no good. Those might as well be reeds the way you've grabbed those. Do you not know the difference between a riverbank and where we're working now in this burger shop? I said, yes, I do know the difference. And it was then I realised that my dream...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of difference.
Yes, they were different.
Was there?
Yes. So, Clement, you've got in with 27 seconds to go, grasping at straws, starting now.
If you want to make a milkshake for your children, which is an excellent thing to do, try getting a banana, some grapes.
Owen Challenge.
It's a bit of a hesitation.
There was a bit of a hesitation, yes, trying a banana. So...
It's harsh.
What?
All right, I give benefits of the doubt. Do you want Clement to have the benefit of the doubt?
I don't want the benefit.
Right, all right.
Oh, do you hear him now? I don't want the benefit.
So, all right. Now, everybody's had a benefit of the doubt except Pauline. There's one owing to you, Pauline, darling. Right, there we are. So, 20 seconds. Carry on, Clement. Grasping at straws, starting now.
A sufficiency of milk, a few lumps of ice, and then...
Paul Challenge.
We had milk in milkshake before.
Had a milkshake.
Yeah.
Milkshake.
You can't
milkshake,
really make a milkshake
milk.
Without them. It's
and
like
no, in just a minute you can't repeat it.
Oh, it's so you know, and that's one of the examples of too harsh a rule. Oh.
Well,
I say no
Pauline,
more.
We're quite happy to change the whole nature of this show. It's been running successfully for 40 years. If it makes you any happier,
we've been just bringing a fresh approach. That's all.
But after 39 years, it has worked quite well, Pauline.
Oh, all right, you've beaten me down. It might as well be 800 years the way you're carrying on. No.
Paul, 16 seconds, grasping at straws, starting now.
I believe you've just given it to me, and if you haven't, I'd be grasping at straws, and that's what the thing means. When you see a situation open up in front of you, and you think to yourself...
Clement Challenge.
He said think before.
He did say think before.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Yes.
6 seconds, Clement, grasping at straws, starting now.
A Pimm's number one served with apricot brandy is something which will get people clutching at straws.
So Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained other points in the round. He's leapt forward. He's equal with Pauline McGlynn in second place behind Paul Merton. Owen is just behind them. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is immortality. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
When you're my sort of age, you think less about immortality than mortality. And I have spent many hours of my time trying to find a legend to put on my tombstone, which originally was going to be, he never insulted anyone unintentionally. And then, after careful rethought, was best before and the date on which. But... I have now decided that the ideal message to put upon this stone over my grave is, he was not speaking.
Owen.
It's hesitation.
That is definitely hesitation, yes.
Oh, come on!
And there was stone twice, actually, as well.
I know. Why did you let him go? But
well, I wanted to hear what he was going to do. You know what the third thing was going to be?
Oh, okay, then I'll take it back.
No, you're not. These are the rules of the game. You've got it's a very long pause.
It's a jungle out here.
And we want to hear from you on immortality, too. 18 seconds, starting now.
Immortality, of course, does not exist. We would all like this particular thing to be real, but it's not. I would like to have it on...
Too much liking.
It's all right, don't rub it in, darling.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I refused myself there, didn't I? Yes.
You've got the subject and a point and 10 seconds. Immortality, Pauline, starting now.
The trouble with immortality is that it seems to stretch forever, as far as I'm concerned. I really don't have the time for that. I need to do new things. I can't be facing into immortality.
Pauline McGlynn was then speaking as the whistle went again. That extra point has moved forward. She's ahead of Clement Freud. She's 2 points behind Paul Merton, our leader, and just ahead of Owen O'Neill. And Pauline, it's also your turn to begin. And the subject, a nice one, I hope, for you. It's my midlife crisis.
Lovely.
Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, I'm 44 years old, and to me, this is exactly the right time for me to have a midlife crisis.
Owen, challenge.
Repetition of me.
But it's all about me.
Tough challenge, but it's correct. Yeah. Owen, you have the point, you have the subject. 55 seconds, my midlife crisis, starting now.
My midlife crisis happened quite a while ago. Men who have midlife crises, they get to drive sports cars and drink a lot and run after young girls, whereas women who have a midlife crisis get to have hot flushes and become insane.
What? A poor challenge.
Repetition of get to have.
Get to have, I'm afraid, yes. Two gets to have.
That's right.
So, Paul, a correct challenge. 39 seconds, starting now.
You don't know when your midlife is, so how are you going to have a crisis about it? You might be dead by the time you're 50, so you can't really tell. To me, a midlife crisis is one of these journalistic inventions. I have never suffered a midlife crisis. When I look over at Nicholas Parsons, I think to myself, if I'm like that when I'm 90, then I'll be very, very happy in there. What a tremendous example he is to immortality. Nicholas, the first man ever to appear on the BBC back in 1922.
Challenge.
Repetition of Nicholas.
I know, what a pity.
Give me the benefit of the doubt. No.
But it was a correct challenge, Clement. So my midlife crisis is with you. That's the subject. 17 seconds starting now.
In my midlife crisis, I tried to think of something to put on my tombstone. And determined now to write on it, he was not speaking when the whistle went. That's all.
Poor challenge.
That's it.
Hesitation, yes.
But I'll tell you, I'll show you how fair and generous I am.
Give me the benefit of the doubt.
No benefit of the doubt. I'll be even more generous. I say, because the audience enjoyed what you said, Clement, it got such a big laugh, and you paused, you will get a bonus point for that. But Clement, Paul gets the subject and a point, of course, and there are 4 seconds available. My midlife crisis starting now.
On my tombstone, I want, beneath this sod lies another one. You can't do that.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went again. The next point, he's increased his lead ahead of Pauline McLean and Clement Freud, who are equal in second place. Owen brings up the rear, and Owen, it's your turn to begin. The subject now, recycling. Can you tell us something about that subject with 60 seconds to go, starting now?
Recycling in my household is a logistic nightmare. In the old days, you only had to recycle bottles, green, brown and clear. Now you have to recycle everything. Paper, cardboard, shoes, batteries, mobile phones, duvet covers, human hair, and my jokes, which I have to recycle at the Edinburgh Festival because I've been doing it for 25 years and I've run out of subjects to talk about. Recycling, of course, is very helpful to the environment, so they tell us, but I don't...
Clement Challenge.
That was his second, of course.
Yes, you
He's of course. Quite keen on of courses.
I know.
Of course I am.
It's a term of language which helps you through, but unfortunately you can't repeat it, so Clement, correct challenge, 30 seconds, recycling, starting now.
It is said that once you can ride a bicycle, you can continue to do so for the rest of your life. Well, I tried and couldn't. I recycled all I could, up a hill, down a valley, and nothing. The pedals went round and I fell off. So that goes for recycling.
Paul, you challenge.
It was hesitation.
There was hesitation, yes, yes. You have the subject of recycling 10 seconds to go, starting now.
It was I who translated Nicholas's routine from the original Greek. And there he was recycling these jokes in front of the audience and they roared with laughter when he walked onto that stage.
Mutton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's increased his lead ahead of Clement Froy, Pauline McLennan, Owen O'Neill, and Paul. It's also your turn to begin, and the subject now is flower power. Tell us something about flower power in just a minute, starting now.
In the 1967 film The Producers, made by Mel Brooks, there's a character called LSD, played by Dick Shawn, and this... I couldn't think of another word for character.
Pauline, you just...
It was a hesitation.
It was hesitation. So, Pauline, you have 52 seconds. Flower power is a subject, and you start now.
Flower power is all very well, but I believe in drugs, really, for curing anything like a hangover or a disease of any sort. I think that flowers are beautiful to look at, and that is their power, certainly, but they're a hell of a lot less use than they're made out to be when it comes to curing pain or perhaps even just a bad hair day.
Paul Challenge.
Was that a hesitation?
Yes, it was a hesitation. I'm sorry, Pauline.
Damn it, he's right.
30 seconds, Paul. Flower power, starting now.
It was a wonderful time in San Francisco, 1966. The Clement Freud Magnificent Explosives Band were there with their hip-hop ribbons and their Grateful Dead... Oh, what am I talking about? I've got all the albums.
Yes, this was a sort of real channel that came to a dead end. Right. And Owen, you challenge first. So you have flower power, and you have 21 seconds starting now.
Flower power actually started in Ireland in the late 16th century. When we ran out of potatoes, flour became really popular for baking bread. We ate flour all the time, and the power that it gave us was tremendous. When we were out in the fields, ploughing away there on our... on our iron implements, I was going to say, but...
Tragically hesitation.
Tragically hesitation, and you've got him with 2 seconds to go.
Oh, no! The poacher strikes again!
You haven't gained any friends, but you've got the subject. And 2 seconds, flower power starting now.
Sergeant Pep...
Oh, Owen, challenge.
Pep, hesitation.
We're in between Pep and Purr, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll give you a bonus point for inventiveness. Paul was interrupted, so correct within the rules of just a minute. He still has the subject, flower power, 2 seconds to go, starting now.
Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
So apparently we're moving into the final round. And in that situation, Owen O'Neill and Pauline McLean and Clement Freud are almost equal. Not quite, but almost. Only 1 point separates from them. In second place, they're training Paul Merton, who has, for once, got a very strong lead. Pauline McLean, will you take that final round?
I would be delighted to, Nicholas
Parsons. Isn't that good? Do you know anything about hopscotch? It doesn't really matter whether you do or not, because that's the subject. 60 seconds starting now.
Is it just me, or does hopscotch mean something entirely different when you're here in Edinburgh? I don't know. I could be wrong about that. For me...
Owen Challenge.
I think it was a slight hesitation.
Oh.
I said slight.
I know, slight. Not enough. Not enough to get the point. I'm sorry. So, Pauline, you keep the subject. I haven't got another point, of course. Hopscotch, 52 seconds, starting now.
For an Irish gael, hopscotch meant a game that I played with others who lived on my street. We were normally very beautifully dressed with pigtails. We would chalk out the hopscotch and then play to the death. The important thing...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of play.
Yes, there were too many plays, I'm afraid. So, Clement, the correct challenge, and the 39 seconds still available. Tell us something about hopscotch, starting now.
Hootsmon is something...
Hoeing challenge.
Deviation.
Yes, but we didn't get enough time to stem. He might be...
Repetition of a previous round.
I thought it's...
No, I mean, I've got to be fair. I mean,
we can't have repetition from previous rounds as we've been playing this game for 39 years. Makes it incredibly difficult.
No doubt he was going to make a connection between Hootsmon and hopscotch.
Okay,
you'll have to wait and
enough.
See. On two words, you can't really. So, right. Clement, you have the subject and you have 31 seconds. Hopscotch starting now.
The new is a very good time to play hopscotch. That was really my...
He set it up for you.
What?
You need to buzz in and get the subject. He looked over to you.
Did he?
Yes.
Have I didn't realise you were looking at me. I thought he was just staring at me. Yeah. Well, anyway, sort of Paul's buzzer. Me. I didn't want to say anything.
Paul's buzzer went first, so Paul, yes, hesitation. You have 32 seconds. Hopscotch starting now.
Hopscotch is a game that you played on the pavement. You get a bit of a chalk and you do squares and you put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as many as you like, and then you jump up and down. This is what we used to do before there was television. Aren't you great that we now live in a digital age? You can turn on the radio, forget the hopscotch, you can listen to all kinds of things. Nicholas Parsons in his heyday. Who would have thought? Walk down memory lane, get the hopscotch thing, and you can do what you like. Where I live, we have this national hopscotch championship. Everybody joins in from the tower blocks to the country cottages. It's wonderful. The Archbishop of Canterbury won one year, and he was up against the milkman. If you take a hard-boiled egg and an onion and try to put them in the same shell, you end up with something that's neither a hard-boiled egg or an onion.
So let me give you the final situation. Owen O'Neill, who hasn't played the game very much, did very well, but he did finish, but in a very strong fourth place. Pauline McGlynn, who's only played a little before, I think once or twice, but she did very well, but a very powerful third place. Clement Freud has been playing the show forever and did extraordinarily well and finished in a very dominant second place. Out in the lead with a record number of points scored, 22 points. He must be the winner. Yes, Paul Merton. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and it only remains for me to thank you. These four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Owen O'Neill, Pauline McGlynn and Clement Freud. I thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle whenever the time was up, even before sometimes. And, and we also thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this delightful game. We're grateful to this lovely audience here at the Fringe, at the Pleasance, up in Edinburgh. They've been lovely. We've enjoyed playing it. I'm glad you've enjoyed it. But to our listeners, hope you've had a good time. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute!